godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here, 831 ESPN 97.5. Bringing in Josh Pate, national college football analyst for 24/7 Sports, CBS Sports headquarters, creator of The Late Kick with Josh Pate, at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. Joining us once again to talk college football. Josh, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good now, but this could go downhill pretty quickly. Have you guys ever taken these Mio Energy Shot things that have a little caffeine in them?
No, but I've had things that have been highly caffeinated.
You're taking shots of caffeine?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so I misread the label is what I'm telling you. And I gave it two full pumps instead of just two squirts. So I really think I just ingested the equivalent of about 9 cups of coffee. So we can go for 4 hours if you want to.
Well, we're in.
Yeah, listen, sit really.
Hour and a half and then we're done.
Sit really still, Josh. Don't do a whole lot of activity while you're jammed up with all this caffeine. And
let us know if your heart starts to palpitate.
If he tests positive for performance enhancing drug, then I'll finally believe somebody when they said, I didn't read the label. I misread the label. They usually, when I hear that, I think, you did.
Whatever.
But now I'm like, okay, well, Josh, I believe Josh. What a wild, wild week of college football. My goodness. We saw it with the Aggies against Arkansas. We saw it with the Longhorns against Texas Tech. The Cougars had one that went right down to the wire against Rice. And I'm just talking about local battles here. But let's start with a couple of the headline battles. Texas, you know, I've got a fundamental problem, and I understand that Texas Tech controlled the ball in the entire second half. But there should just never be a game where you enter the fourth quarter and there's 11 carries for Bijan Robinson. I think Steve Sarkisian sometimes overthinks this offensively.
You know, I actually talked about this last night, but it was in another vein on the show, but it applies here too. I am of the opinion that there is no one better in the country at doing what he does on game day than Steve Sarkisian, but that doesn't make him flawless. And sometimes, as you guys know, when you're developing your philosophy, and then when you're installing over the fall camp period, and then you're putting in your game plan during game week, man, you walk out there on Saturday and you got those laminated play sheets and it looks all pretty like a Christmas tree, and there's so much you can do on there that sometimes when you get in a game, if the game itself is telling you it would be smartest to just stick to about 4 or 5 things you're doing well.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of discipline to do that as a play caller, because you know you've got all this stuff here you've worked on, and man, don't I have to pull it all out? Look at all the different functions of this little Swiss Army knife. Let me use all these tools. Well, what if the game is dictating that you just need to use a few of the tools and save the rest for later? I kind of think that's what they slipped into Saturday.
I totally agree. I'm sorry, Justin, I didn't mean to jump in there.
Well, I was basically just going to ramble on for another minute.
I know your blood is coursing with caffeine right now, so I wanted to jump in and just say, so my dad was a longtime offensive line coach, college pros, and one of the things that he used to lament is when offensive coordinators wouldn't just stick with, don't try to be a genius all the time. Stop trying to get your genius card and just run the plays that work. Sometimes the simplicity of execution when you have advantages from a talent standpoint is all you need to do. You don't have to prove you're a genius every week if you're an offensive play caller.
And I think the other beautiful thing in the disciplinary side is if you can do what Texas Tech did, if you can just hang around long enough. This was not a game where they jumped out to a 14 or 17 point lead. In fact, Texas led 24-14 with the ball in plus territory in the third quarter. So they hung around. They stayed within puncher's reach. And if you'll do that, there's always a chance that the other guy will just screw up. There's always a chance the other guy will start handing you opportunity. And that's exactly what happened. And now, if it's 38-17, it doesn't matter. You're not within reaching distance. But Texas Tech stayed there, and they ultimately won the game and then had to pay a $50,000 fine because of it.
Josh Pate is with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I just saw a headline that said that Adrian Martinez and what he did last Saturday was an indictment on Scott Frost. I don't know. Kansas State has Oklahoma's number. It doesn't matter who's quarterbacking.
Well, it would appear that way. You know, I can see what people are saying when they say that. I'm looking at, on a more broad scale, there are a few guys I'm looking at right now at that position. One of them is Adrian Martinez, one of them is Hendon Hooker, and one of them is Michael Penix Jr. Because all those guys are enjoying varying degrees of success this year so far, and they are certainly better off than where they were at their previous stop. And it, to me, it just goes to show you how wrong the book is sometimes. Like if you watch Hendon Hooker at Virginia Tech or if you watch Penix at Indiana and you just say that is who that guy is, what it doesn't take into account is we cannot know how favorable or unfavorable his surroundings are at his specific place and how conducive his particular situation is to him succeeding as a player. Now, ultimately, it's just your job to get the job done. I get all that. But there are so many players out there that have a mold cast on them, and for all we know, they would flourish in 13 other systems out there. And why I'm mentioning that, as I turn my alarm off here, why I'm mentioning that is there's a player right now. I actually would be fascinated to get Lance's take on this. We heard all the noise about Tyler Van Dyke coming into this year, and he wasn't green. We had seen him play before, but there was a lot of NFL draft hype about him, and now he's been benched. And I really wonder if it's a Miami thing, if it's a Josh Gattis thing, if it's a Tyler Van Dyke being overrated thing, because I'm pretty convinced we're going to see him somewhere else next year. And I almost wonder, is he going to be the 2023 version of these guys, where he's in a new system and he flourishes and it becomes more an indictment on his previous place of, not employment, but play, than he as a player?
It could happen because Hooker is really good. I got my first look at the Washington State quarterback. He's got a lot of talent still. Is unrefined, but I mean, he came over from Incarnate Word, but he's got a very live arm. I thought Hooker headed into the season could be that guy that jumped up and became a major, major player as it pertained to the draft because he checked all the boxes. And I'd say the same, you know, watching him play against Tennessee, I'm on that same pathway. He looks like a guy that continues to make himself money. As far as Van Dyke is concerned, size, arm talent. He had comments, negative comments about the Miami fan base getting out there and would rather play in road games. I mean, Mario Cristobal right now is running he's a drill sergeant over there right now. He's not going to put up with comments like that if you're really not playing well. I'm totally with you. I would totally expect him to be gone next year. But it is funny because usually you think, well, if a quarterback's a really good, look at the portal. Look at Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray. These weren't portal guys. These were transfer guys. First pick of the draft. Hooker is a transfer guy. And you've mentioned some of the transfer guys that are out there. Caleb Williams, you know, draft-wise, we'll see. But Caleb Williams is a guy who is putting together a good statistical season. He's a transfer guy. It's amazing where it used to be guys who transferred just weren't good enough or couldn't, you know, or just were stuck behind somebody. Transfer guys now are very live players when it comes to draft potential and even Heisman potential. Jalen Hurts. Jalen transferred. Look at Jalen Hurts. I mean, he couldn't get in behind Tua, and now those two are squaring off. I mean, those two are going to be, you know, those two are the only two undefeated quarterbacks, Tua and Jalen. Jalen couldn't get on the field because he was behind Tua by the end of his run at Alabama.
Well, I also just think about the hiring process now. And how radically different the transfer portal makes the hiring process. Now we just saw a very extreme example of it with what Lincoln Riley did at USC, bringing in all those guys. But think about just the quarterback position. If I'm interviewing for the Nebraska job or the Auburn job or whatever, and I can wink and nod at you if you're my AD or university president, and I can tell you if you get me, you also get him. The quarterback position changes your program, obviously. And so if I'm a head coach and I can kind of attach myself at the hip with a guy who I can guarantee you is going to be in the portal, it changes it. Whether people want to admit it or not, that is going to be a factor, if it's not already, in the hiring process now in the transfer portal era, like you said there. It doesn't just make it to where you're getting scraps. that weren't good enough to play elsewhere. Dude, you've got prime time players like Caleb Williams who are in that portal. Jalen Hurts, who's in that portal. These are guys you can win with yesterday. And so it changes the face of college football, and it also makes it very possible for an immediate turnaround instead of a mandatory 2 to 3 year rebuild.
No, absolutely. And not just the quarterback position. We just had Dana Holgerson on about a half hour ago, and Josh, and I asked him, I said, as somebody said that the transfer portal, there's no parity. Are you kidding me? I think the transfer portal has been great for parity. Look at even when USC and UCLA leave, or when Texas and Oklahoma leave, look at the rest of the Big 12 and the rest of the Pac-12 right now. There's some good football being played by those non-huge schools that are transferring to the other conferences.
There is. We had a big meeting with 24/7 Sports last winter, and you know this realization was starting to set in, and we had to make a decision as a company. Do we just stick to traditional recruiting rankings? Do we continue to do that, but also dabble in the transfer portal, or do we do what we ended up making the decision to do? Do we dive headfirst into transfer portal rankings and having those in their own separate department and really just understanding this is a fundamental shift in the way the game worked in the past versus the way it's going to work in the future? Because that's what it gives you the capability to do. It gives you the capability to reinvent your team overnight. And no one out here, I don't think, is suggesting that should be a long-term sustainable model you try and buy into. But if you're a new coach, if you're a new staff, or if you have a generational quarterback walk out, or you lose four guys off your offensive line, it just doesn't have to be the end of the world feeling that you used to get if you weren't named Alabama or Ohio State.
No, absolutely not. And listen, if you get a kid who transfers after his first year, you still got him for maybe 4 years if he redshirted. So that's as good as a high school recruit.
Yeah, and also there's the little added bonus that once he's transferred to you, he doesn't have that penalty-free transfer in his back pocket anymore. So a lot of coaches will tell you, yeah, I love getting kids out of high school, but man, when I really feel safe is when I get them after their first transfer, because then they know that the exit door is not just swinging wide open for them if things don't go well for a week of practice.
Good point. Josh Pate with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before you go, you know, two weeks ago, Texas and Texas A&M, look at the places that they were in and look at the places that they're in now. What a difference 2 weeks can make.
Yeah, and the ironic part to me about A&M is they've played seemingly the same game offensively for several weeks in a row with varying degrees of result. And the way I've looked at it is after they lost to App State, there was a lot of desperation. And they beat Miami, and you know the offensive output kind of looked the same, even with a different quarterback. And then they beat A&M last week. Offensive output kind of looked the same with Max Johnson again. And I really wonder, is that just what we're going to see the entire year, or are they buying themselves time to not get things right? They're not going to turn into a pinball machine, but, I mean, can they up their offensive production 25%, 30%, et cetera? I think Evan Stewart's a big part of that, but what I worry about is the impact of losing Anaya Smith, because I think that if they were to turn that corner, if they were to really up their production level, he was going to be an integral part of it, and he's gone now, and it doesn't mean that they're left for dead offensively, but it does mean Devon Achane has to have several more games like he had last week. They have to have freshmen like Evan Stewart step up, and they have to really thread the needle here. I mean, there's a reason they are a point spread underdog on the road against Mississippi State this week. Certainly will be the week after that. With Texas, you just have to hope the reset button gets hit this week with Ewers coming back, which I presume he does. Mm-hmm. And they've still got everything to play for. They got one conference loss. That is not a conference where you should assume anyone's going to have a blemish-free record. So that Big 12, to me, is the most entertaining conference to watch in the sport this year.
It really is, because Baylor, Dave Aranda, just very quietly has a good team like he had last year as well. Beating Iowa State. Kansas is now – Kansas State had a good
Kansas
win.
Kansas TCU's
has become
undefeated.
A factor. TCU's undefeated, as you mentioned. And I do think that Texas – these young players are going to – gain a level of experience that you're going to see, you know, start to pop in the middle of the year. And I think Quinn Ewers coming back, look, we got a very small, small sample size. But that small sample size we got was pretty damn skippy. And Xavier Worthy is a big-time weapon. And so I am interested to see how Texas looks with Quinn Ewers under center, because we hadn't been dazzled in the offseason. There wasn't dazzling commentary coming out of there. And then all of a sudden we saw him against Alabama. And that dude, you were there, Josh, dime dropper. So it's really going to be interesting. And I think there will be a little more juice from the offense when you have a healthy Quinn Ewers as opposed to Hudson Carter, who continues to just battle through it.
I agree. And you mentioned Worthy. Xavier Worthy has not played his best football yet this year. Mm-hmm. And if he's going to, I think this would be the perfect time for that to start. And look, here's the one thing to watch this weekend. Now, I know they're favored by about 9.5 or 10 points. That defense was on the field 100 plays last week. So they may very well be looking at a situation where even against an undermanned West Virginia, you may need to score a few more points than you go into this game thinking you'll need to score this week just due to fatigue defensively. So if they need it, they got the guy coming back at the right time.
That's Josh Pate, and he is awesome, and we really appreciate you joining us every week right here on ESPN 97.5 at Late Kick. Late Kick Josh, at Late Kick Josh. You can see his work, and he's the host of the Late Kick with Josh Pate. Where are you going this week?
We're going to Oxford, Mississippi, I'm very anti-hurricane, as you guys well know about me. So I'm gonna take in a nice 11 a.m. kickoff between Ole Miss and Kentucky and play it safe this week.
Wow.
Good call.
What do you think about Jackson Dart so far?
I think, okay, so in 15 seconds or less, I think that their quarterback situation right now is a little more up in the air than people think. I think there have been some very poor decisions this year they have not had to pay for. Kiffin knows it. I don't think the public does. And I am so convinced that game's going to be decided on turnovers. Plus, Kentucky's given up 16 sacks as well this year. So someone's going to make critical errors, and I think that's what's going to decide the outcome of this game, which makes it so totally unpredictable.
Yeah. I like Jack. I like Jackson last year at USC. He's such a playmaker, but yeah, I don't know. Kentucky's so physical. My goodness, that'll be a good one. That's a good choice right there. And you stayed out of the hurricane. Well done.
Hey, 2 for 1. Mimo always said, if you can get it, take it in life.
That's Josh Pate.
Let's get that caffeine worked out of the system,
yep.
Josh.
Yep. You should run there today.
No, don't run. Just get a brisk walk in. Don't get the heart rate above, you know, where it needs to be. No. He's going to be in the
take advantage of all the caffeine.
He's going to be in AFib any second now.
That's Josh Pate right here every week on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Josh,
hold on, what'd you say, Josh?
I said we'll save the company some travel money, too, so this is not a bad idea.
He's going to run to Oxford. Thanks, Josh. We'll talk to you again next week.
Appreciate it, guys.
Hey, that was no jab at Josh, was it?
No, it wasn't, but SiteJab can jab up and punch up your website. SiteJab has years in the business. It occurred to me the other day that I talk about integrating videos into your site, and you probably think it's embedding YouTube videos. And look, they can do that. That's not a problem. But if you go to SiteJab.com, that's SiteJab.com, right there on the front page, you can see exactly what I'm talking about. The website, the video is a fluid video that captures who and what SiteJab are. It does a great job of adding life to their own website. So you can get an example of what I'm talking about. And they can do the same thing for your website. No matter what your company is, what they want to do is make sure that you have the very best when it comes to having a website that tells consumers who you are. When people are on your website, they need to be able to find out who you are, what your product is, portfolios of your work. They need to get these examples very quickly, very efficiently, but they also need to be able to interact with them in such a way that you can convert those eyes into actual business. And that's what SiteJab does a great job of doing. They're building websites, creating leads, but doing so much more than that. Go look at their entire suite of products that they offer by going to the website, sitejab.com. You click on the Let's Meet button in the upper right-hand corner, set up your consultation, and they can set up a strategy for you to have the best website and improve your business and your leads with sitejab.com. That's sitejab.com.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!